if you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you. From the
love of Christ, it's love. Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7.
Yeah.
Here on Joy FM. We continuing our conversation on the Christian platform.
Absolutely.
Our last discussion, last two segments with our friend Mike Daniels from the Green Bay Packers. We talked about the athletes and some the platform that they have. It was a great discussion, although it was kind of all over the place because we were just kind of like having fun, you know, with it. So it was great. Cool. And so we're continuing our conversations with our brothers up here in Green Bay.
Faith Boys.
In Wisconsin. We're excited because we've been in ministry with these brothers for like the last nine years.
That's it.
And we're excited. And I told y'all that I would tell you how we came to know each other in this segment. So I want to go around and introduce our brothers. Y'all know Frank Woods, the fellow facilitator from the Captive Project.
What's up? Frank. Breathe easy with you.
And we have from Green Bay, Sons of Faith, the Bible Boy International Connection.
Bible Boys.
In Green
Albert
Bay, not from
Walker.
Yeah.
Bertology.
Bertology.
And if you actually look at the Captive Project video, you'll see him. He's the one that getting it in at Elmbrook Church.
Yeah.
So welcome, Bert.
How y'all doing?
Bible Boy Bert.
And guys, then many of you remember from our last couple of discussions, Roman the Hammer.
Ro-Ro.
The Velvet
Ro-Matrix.
Voice.
Ro-Matrix.
Velvet Voice.
The Velvet Voice.
Wow.
So say hi to the people. And so
hi, people.
Then, of course, there's the legend. The man.
The man.
The man that made myths legendary.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Macedonia.
Mac.
Our producer.
We live.
In the house. And so we thank you, everybody, for joining us. And so what we want to do is we want to continue our discussion on the Christian platform. And what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about Christian rap.
Christian rap. That's all awesome. Right.
Now, this is a big one.
Yeah.
Because Christian rap has
gone
need from
more than
being
30
called,
minutes.
I know.
I was about to say.
Being called Satan music.
Yeah.
To
this is good.
Sell out, all types of stuff. I mean, and what I want to do in these next couple segments, you know, as we round out this discussion, is talk about, you know, the history of it.
Right.
And where it is today and the platform. Because it's definitely moving into
good stuff.
The mainstream with Lecrae winning two Grammys.
Yeah.
You know, in the area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in the past, it's always been regulated to the back door of the gospel scene.
Right.
Now, and I don't want to go into a lot of discussion about people's attitude toward it too much. What I really want to talk about is where it is and where it can eventually get to. As it advances the kingdom of God, what should we do and not do and things like that. So as we start this discussion, somebody give everybody kind of a brief history, you know, when it comes to Christian rap.
I nominate the Berean, Frank Woods.
The Franklin.
Actually, I really didn't get into Christian hip hop. Until 2005, and I know with the cross movements and the lamp modes and gospel gangsters and Grape Street guys and all these guys that I only know of because of Rob, my boy Rob would be the
Grape Tree,
that would have the history on it. So I don't really know too much about them, but I know that they were the trendsetters to start the whole movement of rapping the gospel, and very sound. I remember the first time that I heard him, I was actually, you know, in prison when I heard him, and I heard an artist named The Truth, Emmanuel Lambert, the first time I heard him. And I remember thinking, and I was, you know, early in my sanctification, I was still a babe in Christ, just coming into the faith. And I remember rising up on my bunk like, we can do this? Like, we can rap? Because I've been rapping like half of my life. I did a couple albums secularly in the town, you know, years prior, before my conversion. And I remember thinking, man, God, I could do this. We could do this. And so just from that perspective, and then I realized once I came home and got back with Rob and we started looking at, you know, the different artists that were out, I noticed right away that there was a difference in the kind of Christian rap. You had those guys that were doing Christian rap with Jesus on the track, and then right. you had those guys that were giving you, like, lyrical theology when they did it. And right away, I began to resonate more so with the guys that was doing the lyrical theology, more so than the guys that was just doing the Christian rap, in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, let me chime in on that.
Go ahead.
I recall the first Christian hip-hop artists I heard, they weren't, it wasn't, it was not the Cross Movement. But the first Christian rap dudes that I got a hold of, that was back in like 1998, 99. It was Antonius Grape Tree. Was it Grape Tree? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it was a Grape Tree. Grape Tree.
No, it's called
from the West Coast, right?
Yeah, Grape Tree. Yeah, yep.
Grape Tree.
Yeah.
Well, Antonius, it was. I remember a dude named Antonius.
Hey, that's like Grape Tree or Grape too. Street.
Grape Tree.
Okay.
I think Antonius is a barber too, but
okay.
At any rate, them dudes was spitting, you know what I mean? They had beats and stuff. I'm like, yo, what's this? You know what I mean? And then like I got a hold of Cross Movement a little bit later.
Yeah.
But you know, Cross Movement had the boom bap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And boom bap really that type of
originated from East
hip hop, it wasn't really relevant. As right. relevant in the hip hop genre
yeah.
as it used to be. You know what I mean? Because we was coming out of that segment of life when I'm talking about your Jungle Brothers, KRS, all of them dudes, right. you know, when that shift came, when the Tupacs and the NWAs and the Scarfaces right. and all of these other dudes came, the shift of what was most popular. You had Nas and all of these dudes.
It changed sonically.
Sonically it changed.
It seemed like the earlier Christian rap was they were trying to, before they found their own identity, they were kind of mimicking
what
was out there as far as the world
right.
is concerned.
You even had a lot of Christian artists rapping on, and some people still do this. I'm not a fan of it, but rapping over secular beats,
right.
That was familiar
huge.
Beats.
Right.
You know what I mean?
When the Captain Project started, one of the things that was a big discussion was to make sure that we always used original beats.
Yeah, because, I remember that.
Right, and it was a huge pushback. To be sure, it was a huge pushback.
Right.
On it because people resonated with it, but one of the things that changed a lot of the guys' mind. Was that when we had went down to a Legacy conference?
Yeah, Legacy.
I remember Tadashi
in Chicago
had said that when you do that,
which was one of the 116 guys,
right? It's like you're getting into a covenantal relationship with that rapper.
Wow.
And
wow.
one of the things that changed the heart too was a lot of people when they were leaving the parks, then they were listening to the beat. They started saying the actual words from the secular rapper. And not the Christian rapper.
Mm-hmm.
So there was also a promotion of that particular rapper.
Right, right.
And so that's when the Captain Project made the decision that, you know what, we're gonna do our own beats, you know, with our own lyrics. So people are walking out with our beat and our lyrics and so on and so forth.
Which I think that leads into also the other thing that you talked about, which was how we view what we should and should not do. And one of the things that hit me when you first begin to discuss the content of the topic and what you were looking for to hear from was one of the things that you discussed was that hit me when you brought that up was this. We are called as Christians when we're doing rap music, and me as an artist, this is how I view it. We are called to embrace the art and reject the culture, because we know that the hip-hop culture in and of itself is not a biblical foundation, right? Now we know that God uses these things, right? Mm-hmm. We know that it's the everything that we have has been given to us from God, and that Satan perverts those things.
And that's what, and you got to make that clear, because a lot of times people will say, well, Satan this and Satan that and so on and so forth. But when you listen to, especially when Frank was talking about some of the theological stuff, mm-hmm. you can't sit up here and call that anti-God, because Jesus said, well, if a kingdom is going against itself, the kingdom is going to fall.
Not only that, we also got to know that, you know, when we get into the scriptures, and we were talking a little bit about holiness earlier, mm-hmm. we know that, you know, just as God deemed Abraham righteous, not that Abraham was righteous, but that God deemed him righteous.
Right.
And so when from that perspective, no one could be holy except by association to the Holy One.
Correct.
And it's the same thing with rap. When God touches, he makes clean what he touches.
Right. And I like the way you put that, because that's the same mindset is, if I'm a doctor before I become a Christian, can't I be a doctor after I become a Christian?
Right.
You know, if I'm a singer, you know, as a Christian,
that's good.
You know, I'm going to, now my music is going to at minimum not glorify the things that are God is not for.
Right, right.
And so, and we can go into, because this is not a thing about music. We're talking specifically about, you know, Christian rap,
right,
music,
right,
and so on and so forth. And so, what I want to ask, you know, Roman, when you, because you're versatile. Talent, in mm-hmm. all honesty, you sing as well as rap and things like that. Where do you think the state of Christian rap is today? We talked a little bit about the past.
On the national stage?
On the national stage, where do you think it is today?
That's a big question. That's a really big question. That's kind of tough to say, because I don't want my answer to be subjective, which it really is going to be,
okay.
because I'm biased. Like,
right.
camps like God Over Money, I feel like, are the ones that are holding the torch for the Christian community and saying, hey, we hear the music is hard, the music is original, the music is God-honoring, and it's in your face, right?
The
Humble Beasts, the Lamp Modes, all of these guys, I don't see any dilution in the message. I think it's clear, it's straightforward, the gospel's being presented, and I don't have to dig for it, and that's what I personally prefer. But I think the big thing that's out there, like, all of us are like, what's up with Lecrae? I think that's just like huge news,
right?
Because, dude, to be honest, and it's a hard thing for me with Lecrae, because Lecrae was a very large part of why I decided to even do Christian music in the first place.
Okay.
Right.
I was doing secular music on a level where I probably could have ended up on in the industry type of deal, working with somebody in that way. And this person was given a Lecrae CD. He ain't thinking about God or Jesus or any of that. And somebody gives this man a Lecrae CD, and he said, ask me, you want this? Do you want this Lecrae CD? I said, sure, I'll take it. I listened to it, and I immediately told him, no.
Oh, okay.
I listened to it, and I immediately told him,
Kabir, oh, that gave him the CD.
Okay. But I immediately told him, after listening to the Lecrae CD,
I'm done.
That I'm done doing this secular music. I was already saved. I was a Christian.
Wow. That's powerful.
But I was still dibbing and dabbing and doing the worldly music, because I didn't quite see the separation yet.
Right.
And the call to holiness, I guess you would say. And that CD changed my life. Like,
Now, I love that, because we just took it from the world stage as far as Christian hip hop, and then brought it down to a local perspective of how that world stage impacted the local scene. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Rob, we was just talking about how many artists, Christian artists, was taking secular artist beats and rapping. And me and Rob, when I came home and we started trying to do what we was thinking was ministry at the time, we just took what we had in our hand. Yep. Like God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses had that staff. God said, I'm going to use what you have and glorify myself
that preaches
through you. And God did the same thing with us. What did we have? We had our rap. So we went in and we didn't have a lot of money. Matter of fact, we didn't have no money. You know what I'm saying? So we took a lot of instrumentals, secular beats, and we rapped over 40 tracks.
Yep, I remember that. We went
through the neighborhood and we witnessed to guys in the area of high crime in Milwaukee.
Yep.
And gave them those CDs, you know what I mean? And it was over secular tracks, but we went through 1,000 CDs doing that.
Right, and that's fine because the word of God does not return to him void.
Yeah,
you know. But what I wanna go back to what Roe was saying, especially the impact of from Dynamic Twins, Great Tree to Cross Movement. That's the T-Bone era as well, and then Lecrae. And
yeah.
I think one of the things that, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail about Lecrae, but one of the frustrating things was what we thought that Lecrae was the torchbearer, for a long time.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a slight change, but in what he did, it did usher in Beast Mode. It did alert Rusher in. Like more people are now listening to those labels.
You mean Humble Beast and Lamp Mode?
Humble Beast, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Lamp Mode, they're listening to
maybe
them.
That should be our label, Beast Mode.
And I think it's interesting because you got Bizzle, who's coming into a strong light, you know, and it's because a lot of the people, you know, because of what happened as far as the Lecrae situation.
He definitely opened a lot of doors.
Right, and they're coming toward them, that the people that want the stronger, more solid stuff. And so what do you think that we have a chance of impacting the hip-hop culture with Christian hip-hop?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
I want to chime in on that. I believe the Bible to be true, right? And like you said, God's word is not going to...
Okay, water's wet.
God's word is not going to come back void.
All right.
I'm,
therefore...
He is laughing on his mic. Yes, you are. You better. See, he's laughing. So, go ahead. Water's wet.
Therefore...
Time's ticking.
Therefore, any attempt or any work done in God's name, in God's power, is not useless. So it will have an impact. I think we have to be careful on how we measure that impact.
Ooh, nice.
So when because we got to remember this, right? And I'm just going to use this as an example. We look at, or two camps as an example. We look at God over money. And we look at Reach Records, right? Reach Records does have a great impact. Me personally, I believe the music is for the church. Most of Reach Records music is for the church. But Lecrae would say that I'm not making music now per se for the church. I'm making it to reach the world.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing with that is that you have to be a part of the church to really catch what he's saying. You got to have some kind of understanding of Christianity.
If you don't have
if you don't have some kind of working knowledge of Christianity already, some of the stuff that he's saying,
it'll right past you.
You're not even gonna catch.
Right,
right.
So, I mean, that's my thing to that. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have an impact. The other part to that is, now we look at God over money, and their truth is very in your face. Matter of factly, Bizzle, specifically as an artist, spends a lot of time unmasking the lies that are sold in hip hop.
Right.
Therefore, his platform probably would be a lot bigger, but I don't think he's embraced by the secular, or if you will, mainstream hip hop genre or culture.
I think that's by design.
Right.
But this is the point. And I think it is. But we have to remember,
it's not
we are called to be fish swimming upstream.
Correct.
And so we should face some opposition.
The point I'm making is that if you think that hip hop don't have gatekeepers, you're sadly mistaken.
Exactly.
Right. Hip hop control what the sound is like.
Right.
Hip hop does that.
Right.
Well, you I never heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Explain that gatekeepers.
Because I mean, look, if I feel like this individual who has a totally different vibe, a totally different message, but it's just as talented as the best guy we have in our realm.
Right.
I'm not gonna let you hear him. I'm gonna keep him far out the ring. I ain't even gonna pay him because if I even notice him, I'm gonna cause others to notice him.
Right.
So if I ignore him, then I keep him out. Right. No matter what he's doing, he's not gonna get into this realm because we control what you're hearing in this realm.
And that's where I was gonna go. Not necessarily by design, because the fact is that the world is not going to allow him because he brings a conscience.
Yeah.
Christian rap, in my opinion, is hip hop grown up. In my opinion, there was a time when hip hop, secular hip hop, got very conscious. I say went from adolescents to teenagers. Mm. Bone Thugs Harmony, you know, when they started to get socially conscious about
Bone Thugs. Maybe not Bone Thugs.
They had a period where that's one of the foundations
of hip hop. And hip hop, in and of itself, is it was more about being consciously aware of.
Right,
that was the start.
Right, when Public Enemy and them came
out, speaking on your community and what's going.
It was fun and stuff like that. Right, then it went underground. So what I'm saying is that where the secular hip hop presented the issues and the problems and stuff like that, Christian hip hop came along with the answer to all the
solution. Right? I like the solution.
And so they didn't want to hear the solution because they were making money always talking about the problem.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But then when you kept talking about the problem, people got tired of hearing about the problem. So what did secular go? They went sexual. They went drugs. Yeah. They went this way. Hmm. Whereas it's like the next logical step should have been what? Here's the solution. What Christian rap was bringing,
right?
But that got pushed back, and then the secular went where we see it today. Mm. It's all about debauchery and things like that,
right?
And so,
but rightfully so, because we're depraved, right? So
we
can expect depravity. We could expect to see that,
yeah.
Especially because that's exactly what our neighborhoods experience.
Right. But that's why it's important. As we come down to this segment, that's why it's important. It is incredibly important that as Christian rappers, and we're going to talk about the future of this, that's why when we talk about Christian rap in its platform, it is so important to stay focused on giving society a solution,
the gospel,
to it in this area, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come hard, like some of the people, I'll never forget this, guys, and this is a testimony. Thizzle, he had that album that came out, and I was listening to it, and y'all know me, I had attitude. If they could bump secular in the car, I can bump, you know, Christian. Now, I've gotten quite older, as some of y'all knew today. But when I had it turned up, and it was Urban Missionary, and it was going
Urban
hard.
Urban Missionary went hard.
A kid was sitting, and he said, "Man, that's real hard, you know." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you want it?" It's like, "Yeah." And it caught this kid's attention. Not a Christian or anything, but it caught his attention. Now, I gave him the whole CD because I know what he's finna hear whole CD.
That's good.
And so I love the fact that the state that we're in now is that the Christian rap has broken from the shell of mimicking. Yeah. They've broken from the shell of copying or trying to be like.
Right.
We are now saying we're going to set the standard
right.
for Christian rap. We're going to set the standard for this.
Right.
And you can't do nothing about it. We're here now and you can't do anything about it.
And back to you talking about the solution.
Yeah.
You can see even in the industry that there is a hunger for that solution now when you got individuals like Chance the Rapper.
Talk about it.
Who's come up now and he's being a little bit overt with a couple of his songs and mentioning the name of Jesus and things like that. And he's been embraced largely with something that is normally rejected.
Right. Yeah. But that falls along the lines of sensationalism as well. So we want to that's a whole other topic, but
remember, let's not get frustrated because the Lord has allowed us to kind of take a bite out of this apple.
Let's take it back to the scriptures. You remember when the disciples came back and they were frustrated about those guys that weren't following Jesus, but they was healing in his name. And Christ said, well, if they're not against us, they for us.
Amen. And so next time we come up, we're going to talk about the future and how this platform can be used to advance the kingdom of God in a powerful way. Hope Radio, 98.7.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com, or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com, or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.